Well, please have your Bibles open at Colossians chapter 1. Christmas is always a very busy time of year. And for some people, it's even busier than it is for others. And this week, I had a brief conversation with one of those people who really find Christmas very, very busy and tiring. A postman. People who clearly enjoy Christmas. So I asked him if he was looking forward to Christmas being over. And he goes, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Christmas being over. The end of all this workload. But then, he said with a little twinkle in his eye, ah, Christmas Day, that's when all the arguments start. And what an interesting perspective on Christmas. The time when all of the arguments start. Now, we may laugh at that, but there is truth in that, isn't there? Because for so many people, there's so much expectation, there's so much pressure. It means that people get tetchy, they get upset. And then, when someone doesn't appreciate the roast dinner, when someone isn't grateful for that present that someone took hours and hours to choose, the arguments just explode and come out, don't they? So often, for so many families, Christmas Day is filled with arguments. And why is that? Christmas is a time for celebration. Christmas is a time for rejoicing. Christmas is a time for people to get together, to have a break. Why is it that for so many people, Christmas is filled with arguments? Well, the answer is actually found in our passage. It's there in Colossians 1, verse 21, which says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." And this passage is teaching us a very important truth for all of us. It's teaching us that we are alienated from God. We're not right with God. We're not in that right relationship with God. The relationship that we were created for. The relationship that we were made for. And because we're alienated from God, it means that we are what the Bible calls sinners. We are people who sin. Now, we may not like that term. But that's what the Bible calls not measuring up to God's standards, not fulfilling what we should be. We're people who are alienated from God. And when we're alienated from God, it affects our relationships. For those of you who know your Bibles, cast your mind back to Adam and Eve, and they ate that forbidden fruit, and God confronts them. What's the first thing that Adam says? It's Eve's fault. Sin destroys relationships. It destroys our relationship with God. It destroys our relationships with each other. It also destroys our relationship with creation because we saw creation was cursed. We're people who are alienated from God, and nothing else is going to be right until that is sorted out. We are people who we just can't get on with other people. And the reason for that is because of how sin affects us. We are made to be people who have that right relationship with God. We're made to worship Him. But when we become sinners, we become self-centered. We become people who are only interested in ourselves and how we feel. So even when we're serving other people and making them Christmas dinner and buying them presents, we expect that to be well received. And when it's not, then the pressure gets to us and the arguments start. And that's why Christmas is filled with arguments, because we are alienated from God, because we are sinners. Now, those of you who know a little bit more about the Bible, you may be thinking, well, can't God just forgive us? We know that He's a God of love. We know that He is kind. We know that He is merciful. Can't He just let us off the hook? Can't He just forgive us? Can't we have that restored relationship back to Him? Well, unfortunately, He can't just let us off the hook, because God, yes, He is loving, He is kind, He is merciful, but He is also a just and holy God. Now, I was reading a book this week by an old author, someone called Thomas Manton, and he was talking about this, and he had a very helpful illustration. And he says, a private citizen may overlook and forgive an offense. But the person who is the governor, or the person who is the judge, they have to keep and apply the law, don't they? What would it be like if the person sitting in our law courts just decided to forgive someone who was a criminal? Where would the law be in those situations? And with this creation, God is holy, which means he's set apart, he's perfectly pure, he's absolutely spotless, and he's also perfectly just, which means that he always upholds the law. And the law is his standards, not our standards, because we're people who have fallen short. So yes, we can come up with some ideas of how people should behave, but that's always going to be short of God's standards. So that means you can be someone who's never had a parking ticket or anything like that, absolutely perfectly clean, and in the eyes of the state, you are spot on and perfect, but you're still falling short of God's standards. And God, he's got to keep his law, which means that people have to bear the responsibility for the things that they do wrong. And that means that eventually people are going to be going to that lost eternity. Their fate is certain. Humanity has rebelled against God, and it's a battle we are never going to win. It's like a small child with a water pistol going up against a battle tank. It's not going to come out well at all. It's absolutely hopeless. But people still try. They try and live forgetting about this. They try and do things which make them right without God. But the evidence that we are people who are alienated from God is all around us. And if you walk down the street on Christmas Day in the afternoon, you'll hear those arguments ringing out. Of course, the fact that for so many people Christmas Day is a day of arguments is just so ironic, isn't it? Because Christmas Day, it's all about celebrating the birth of the person that the person that God sent to sort the problem out, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a God of love. He is kind. He is compassionate. So he looks at the situation. He knows that we're hopeless. He knows that we're lost without any possibility of help from any direction. So he sends Jesus to sort the problem out. Jesus was born not so that we could decorate our houses and have these lovely trees and things like that. He wasn't sent to keep our shop tills ringing and money flowing around. He certainly wasn't sent to keep turkey farmers in business or even give hope to people who grow Brussels sprouts. Jesus was sent. He was sent to sort out the biggest problem that we've got. The fact that we are alienated from God. He was sent to reconcile us to God. To sort out this relationship. So that we could be rescued from this state of being alienated from God. And brought into the position of being at peace with God and his friend. And when that relationship is sorted out, it means that we can have much better relationships with other people here on this earth. Now, reconciliation, it only works if there's an original relationship that has to be restored. It's not like a sort of a first contact situation, the sort of thing that you might get if you watch Star Trek, where the USS Enterprise goes along and encounters a whole new alien race for the very first time, and they have to work out how they're going to get on with each other. It's not like that, because remember, humanity was made perfect, very good in God's eyes, and we had the right relationship with God in the first place. It was all there. We had the right relationship with God. We had the right relationship with each other, Adam and Eve, and with the created world around us. But Adam and Eve were the ones who made the mistake. They listened to the lie that was told to them. God had given them all of creation, and there's just one thing which he said that they couldn't do. And that one thing was there, that forbidden fruit. It was given so that there was a sign that God was in charge. And also it was a sign of the love that Adam and Eve were meant to have for God. Because when you love someone, you do the things that they say. We know that they tragically fell. And we're in this situation now. But the original relationship was there. And Jesus has come to restore us back to that original relationship. He's come to help us, to lift us out of the pit that we have fallen into. Because we are lost, and there's nothing we can do about it. What have you got that God wants from you? He's given you your life. He sustains you each day. Everything that you own is part of his creation. Everything that you have comes from him. What have you got that God could possibly want? At Christmas time, we may struggle with buying a present for that person who has got everything. We all know what it's like. Someone's there and they want something, so they go out and buy it. So Christmas time comes, there's nothing that they want, and you can't think of a present to buy them. Well, with God, we've got nothing that we can give him at all, because everything we have comes from him. Which means that the reconciliation of our relationship has got to start with him. So God the Father sent Jesus down that very first Christmas, all those years ago. And because God has sent him, it means that God is going to accept the things that he's done. When Jesus came, he had to be a substitute for the things that we did wrong. This is why we're celebrating the birth of Jesus as a baby. If Jesus had just come down as, in glory, a full-grown, he wouldn't be our substitute. He wouldn't be our mediator, because he'd be nothing like us whatsoever. But instead, he had to be born as a little baby. He had to grow up. He had to mature just like we did. He had to be tempted in every way. But he never did anything wrong whatsoever. And that means that when he went and died on that cross, it was a great, great injustice. Because we're told in Scripture that sin, the wages of sin, falling short of God's standards results in death. If you don't fall short of God's standards, you don't deserve to die. But Jesus died on that cross so that the wrongdoing that we have done can be placed onto his shoulders, and his righteousness can be placed onto our shoulders, so that we can be forgiven and we can be reconciled back to God. We can be restored to that original celebration. He is our substitute. He is the one who has taken the punishment for everything each one of us has done wrong. Now that's the reason that we're celebrating Christmas, isn't it? That's far more exciting than buying the latest gadget or the latest perfume or aftershave or buying lots of presents or even a lovely family gathering or something like that. We're celebrating Christmas because Jesus has come down to sort out the biggest problem that each and every one of us has got, the fact that we are alienated from God. And now all those people who put their trust in him, their faith in him, can be reconciled back to him. We can be restored back to that original relationship. And that is something that is truly wonderful, something to get excited about, something to celebrate. So is it not ironic that for so many people, Christmas Day ends up in some sort of argument, when Christmas Day is really all about having relationships restored, the most important relationship we've got with God. So this Christmas time, for those of you who are Christians, just remember why it is that we're celebrating. Remember that Jesus in the manger became Jesus on the cross, who was Jesus in the tomb, who is now Jesus enthroned in glory at the right hand of the Father. And one day he's going to come back. Because the reconciliation that he brings isn't just between man and God. It says here in our passage that all things are going to be reconciled. And then as we look in scriptures, we see that when Jesus returns, and different Christians have got slightly different ideas about how this is going to work out, but we see that the creation is going to be restored back to its original state. There's going to be that full reconciliation because Jesus has made peace through his death on the cross. Things are going to go back to what they were originally were. And that's what we should be celebrating and rejoicing over and getting excited about this Christmas. That's the hope that we have in our hearts, that when we die, we will go and be with Jesus in heaven. And then when he returns, we will receive that resurrection body. And that resurrection body is the physical restoration without sin, without spot. Wonderful things that the Lord is going to do for us in the future. And as we get older, we tend to think more and more about that resurrection body, don't we? But this morning, if you haven't yet made that step of faith, then please think what Christmas is all about. It's not about the turkey and it's not about the presents. It's about Jesus. And today, this morning, that offer of the best present is available for each and every person. Anyone who looks at themselves and sees that they're not right, realizes that they don't measure up to God's standards. Anyone who's got any form of embarrassment and you feel you've got something to hide, you need to go and ask for that forgiveness from Jesus. And when you do that, you say, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to be forgiven. I want to follow you. Then you will receive that best present, that reconciliation with God, restored back to that relationship that we're made for. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen.